So talking to a friend of mine the other day about buffalo, and there used to be about 70 million buffalo on this continent, and if we presume that the average buffalo lived about 20 years, that means if there's 70 million buffalo, that means there's 3.5 million buffalo die every year. And if we presume that the average buffalo weighed about 1,000 pounds, and the average adult buffalo weighs about 1,500. So if we include calves, it's going to run to 1,000. That's about 3.5 billion pounds of meat every year. That's 3.5 billion pounds. Would 3.5 billion pounds of buffalo would die every year just in the order of things. They would either be killed by bears or killed by wolves or die of old age. And now, of course, there are essentially, I mean, close enough to zero, I mean, compared to 70 million, there are close enough to zero buffalo on the Great Plains feeding crows and ravens and insects. And we've, by now, most of us have heard that the biomass of plants has been reduced by about 50% by humans. And that biomass has been converted, which biomass, by the way, what that really means is individual plants. That's with lives just as valuable to them as yours is to you and mine is to me. But as an aggregate, the biomass of plants has been reduced by about half, terrestrial plants, and that has been converted into atmospheric carbon, human beings, domesticated animals, and machines. And similarly, wildlife has collapsed. And it's no wonder it's collapsed when you steal the habitat and when you remove, just from one segment of this continent, 3.5 billion pounds of meat every year. And this is, we can say the same thing for passenger pigeons, for salmon. There are just tremendous amounts of food who have been wiped out. And this is one problem, by the way, that I have with the whole bright green movement and the whole horrible let's put in solar and wind and hydro movement, because all they're doing is finding different ways to fuel this conversion of wild beings and wild places into machines, human flesh, and domesticated animal flesh. And I'm thinking about this in part because I had the conversation the other day with a friend. I'm thinking about this also because just today I was talking with a friend who is bereft because the neighbor just behind them cut down a 70-foot tree because that tree resided on that neighbor's property. And I think a big part of the problem with this culture is its notion of ownership. And it's not, as some anarchists would argue, the notion of my at all, something being mine, because wolves have territories, bears have territories, and mine can also be used in terms of relationship. This is my friend. This is my parent. This is my child. And the problem isn't that there is some sense of I am tied to this other. The problem is that in this culture, one of the problems is that in this culture, ownership implies the right to destroy and the right to, if it's on my property, I can cut the goddamn trees. If it's on my property, I can do whatever I want. And that is the exact opposite of relationship, where if this person is my mother, what that means is I have a responsibility to this other person. If this person is my friend, I have a responsibility to this other person. If this is my tree, I have a responsibility to this tree. If this is my land, I have a responsibility to this land. And that's one of the core problems of this culture that infuses everything from its legal system to its sense of how evolution works, where there's this notion that those who exploit the land best are those who survive, which of course is the exact opposite of true. What is true is those who survive are the ones who improve their habitat by saying, this is my habitat and I need to make it better on its own terms. I need to make it better for it. When salmon run up their stream, this is my stream and I am going to improve the life in this stream. So that's one of the many things that we must deconstruct if we are to survive. We have to not, as so many anarchists say, get rid of the notion of ownership. And part of the reason for that is because within the context of this culture, what that means too many times in practice is if they say there is no such thing as ownership, that is a rationalization for not allowing another to have a boundary. And that is a rationalization for, that means I get to take whatever I can. And don't blame me for this. Read Max Stirner. Read some other anarchist theorists who are along that line. What we need to do is to follow what non-humans do and to follow what many indigenous cultures do, which is to turn the notion of ownership on its head, such that ownership is not really about rights, but about responsibilities.